Sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through.
You are listening to The Beauty Beat with Francesca Alexander. Now, my next guest, I can't tell you how excited I was to interview her, and she was absolutely gracious. She's also a little controversial. It's Diane Forman, and she wrote this amazing book called In the Arena, and it really is a candid look about her life. I say controversial, and it's one of the most dumbest controversies ever, and this is a question posed to women but not men, and this is why I get really ticked off. So, Diane fell in love with her mentor and married her mentor. He was a very influential entrepreneur in New Zealand. For some reason, some people might feel that she actually didn't earn what she has or earn her entrepreneurship wings, so to speak, that she instead married somebody to get that. And that's just wrong on all counts. When was the last time have we asked a man or even think that a man would have gotten his success from a sugar mama or his family financing him? We don't ask these questions to men. We somehow assume this is the case for women, and we ask these questions only to women. It's ridiculous. And to be frank, she is a gentle force to be reckoned with. She's also really likable. In Diane Forman's book, In the Arena, she really reveals a lot of herself. She's a New Zealand businesswoman, and she's a single mother and has a successful multi-million dollar export company, and she actually helped create that. In New Zealand, she won the New Zealand EY Entrepreneur of the Year in 2009 and was named Forbes magazine as one of the most powerful women in Asia in 2014. Diane is the first to admit that she made mistakes, and in her inspirational book, she really opens up and shares about a lot of the lessons she's learned and on her road to creating a globally successful business empire. Diane is a role model for business people everywhere, encouraging them to leave the ladder down so others can succeed more quickly, an invaluable guide for anyone looking to grow their business or even those who are starting up with nothing. This is also a handbook for succeeding in life. What I loved about Diane when I spoke to her is that she wrote this book to give other female entrepreneurs something to reflect on and actually give steps on how to achieve their life's dream, which was amazing when you hear somebody like that. She even donates a lot of her proceeds from the book for causes that help women entrepreneurship. Her journey as an entrepreneur starts at age 10. She actually started delivering eggs to her neighbors as a business. Here is episode 18, Diane Forman. Welcome, Diane Forman, to the show. I'm really excited to be here in this beautiful home of yours.
Great pleasure to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So I've just read your book, In the Arena, and it was something that I knew I had to get when I saw you on Paul Henry, and it was something that went, you know what, she has the answer for that next step. And I personally don't know exactly where I'm headed. I know mm-hmm. that I have a lot of great ideas. They're pretty risky. And I think in the first part of the game, there's some risk-taking things, like definitely starting my own PR company mm-hmm. in Los Angeles was a big thing, a big leap of faith. But I've done that leap of faith and wanting to know, other apart from I'm pretty good at getting the financing bit part down, how do I get, and this is going to be interesting to hear your story, what was that moment where it was a crazy thing just to, you know, leap of faith, jump off and go into the next step to get a little bit grander and bigger?
Okay, well, everything's a leap of faith. So first of all, I think before you take any of these great leaps, write a business plan. Because so many people think, I'm going to stand on the edge of the cliff and leap. But if you don't have a parachute, you're probably going to fall straight down to the bottom of the cliff. And I think writing a business plan is the parachute. So I say to anybody that's wanting to start a business, or if I'm looking at a new business, as I am at the moment, the first thing I do is write a business plan for it. It's a GPS, and then you can follow the steps very carefully. So the leap isn't so big, it's planned and it's little steps. So once you've got the business plan, of course, one of the big things you have to have is a whole heap of courage, because you've got to believe in yourself. And one of the things I say to people is how you value yourself, how much value you put in you is how much other people are going to value you. So if you think, I'm great, my business plan's great, I've made mistakes, I'll make a lot more mistakes, but I'm going to give it a go, then that will permeate everything you do. And that helps you with that leap, that self-belief.
How do you step away from the fear of making mistakes and just keep going?
Look, all entrepreneurs have a very different attitude to risk. An entrepreneur is wired differently, in my view. You know, there's entrepreneurs and there's the rest of the world. And so when you're wired like an entrepreneur, risk is something that you can handle. Risk is a very hard thing, and you can either sit comfortably with it or not. For entrepreneurs, they might not always be comfortable, and they might always feel a bit, this is painful, but they can cope with it. And so it's an attitude to risk that defines someone that's prepared to take the leap, that you can live with it. And I also say, before you make that leap, and while you're thinking about risk, you must understand what's the worst thing that can possibly happen. What's the worst downside? And that's what I ask myself before I go into any new business or any new thing in my life. What is the worst possible thing that can happen? And if I can live with the worst possible thing, then I'll do it.
Okay. So I loved your story. I mean, you're a very gutsy lady. And that beginning stage of you being an entrepreneur, I mean, really goes back to you being in your childhood.
Yes.
When you came to that adult age, when was it when you went, you know what, this is what I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to do something that suits me and my lifestyle? Because it sounded like it was a bit of a lifestyle choice, wasn't it?
Well, not really. You know, I came from, I think I was an entrepreneur, but I didn't know it. Because, you know, when I was a child, I started by selling chicken's eggs. When I was 13, I was running a babysitting circle. But by the time I was 20, I had been married, but I had two small children, I had a mortgage, I had a pile of debt, and life wasn't great. But I didn't do anything entrepreneurial. I just got three jobs. So I was working as a practice manager for an ENT surgeon. I was working as a waitress, and in the weekends I was typing PhD thesis. So there's nothing very entrepreneurial in that. What I was doing then was selling time. And that's, of course, one of the great mistakes that people make. They sell their time instead of building a business. But I actually didn't know that I had what it took to build a business until I met my husband, Bill Foreman. And he was already a very successful, well-established corporate chairman. And he brought me into his business. And it was at that point that I realized that I, you know, it was kind of, people say to me, well, it was a pretty easy risk because, you know, he'd already done all the hard yards. And he absolutely had. So when I started working with him in the beginning, there wasn't a lot of risk involved. There was more, I was like his apprentice. And I was so lucky to be apprenticed to one of the best entrepreneurs of his generation. So I had a very easy street landing. But when I did land, that's when I had to go into the arena on my own, because he wasn't there to pick up the pieces. He was there as my mentor, but he'd moved away as my business partner.
So tell me about that transition. And tell me
about
that.
Well, you know, it was a bit scary in that Bill had asked me to join. When we first married, you know, I was this young single mother with a couple of children, with probably a big entrepreneurial streak down the middle of me that I didn't realize was there. Over time, I got to understand his business, and I got to understand a lot about his business, because in those days there wasn't faxes. There was faxes, I'm sorry, but there wasn't iPads, there weren't iPhones, there weren't any of the normal things that we take for granted in business today. So all Bill's information came in by paper. It all came in on the fax. And even though I wasn't in the business, I was reading all his faxes. So he became ill, and when he became ill, he asked me to go on the board to learn the business, because in his view, I would probably sell it. But he said, look, if you don't understand what you've got to sell, you could undersell it. You might take bad risk. You need to understand. So he brought me onto his board, which was a pretty scary experience. That was a very big wow moment, because, you know, if you've never experienced a boardroom and all of a sudden you're pulling up a chair next to a whole pile of directors that don't want you, that's tough. But, you know, I think that was one of the toughest things, walking through the boardroom door and thinking, Bill believes in me, I believe in me, I can do this, even though the other 8 or 9 people around the boardroom table didn't believe in me and certainly didn't want me there.
Ah, what a great story. How did you persevere through those challenges?
I was so lucky because I did believe in me and I had him. And so every time it was really tough and people would tell me I couldn't do it or I made a mistake, and let's face it, we all make mistakes every day, he would always say, I believe in you, go and do it, and keep making decisions. So if I made a bad decision, he would never chastise me for it. He would say, what are the learnings from that? And he used to say to me all the time, don't sit on your hands wondering. Don't think, should I do this? Should I do that? He said, just make a decision. If it's a bad decision, you can make another decision to change the bad decision, mm-hmm. but the worst mistake you can make is if you do nothing. So getting little pieces of advice and little nuggets of gold from him really helped me have the courage to go, okay, what's the worst that can happen? I can make a bad decision. Then I can make another decision. So, you know, I was really lucky that I had this unrestricted access to him, built up my own self-confidence till I got to a point where I didn't need to have my hand held.
That's a huge, for me, it's a huge takeaway moment. How do you maintain that sort of confidence and know that, you know, really owning your moves?
Well, you have to. I mean, I kind of think that you've got to be able to look in the mirror. And you've got to look at that person in the mirror and think, did you do the best you could? Could I have done it differently? And what are my learnings? And, you know, my kids get driven insane because they say I talk to myself, but actually I'm talking in my head and sometimes the words come out and it looks like I'm a crazy person sitting in the corner talking to myself. But what I'm really doing is I'm replaying everything and trying to get a learning from it. And so that's kind of how I got the confidence, because I'd look at my mistakes and I'd look at my successes and I'd learn from them. And one of my really great friends was in a helicopter accident. And I said to him, you know, how do you not get haunted by that? And he said, it's like business. You know, what you should do is you should play the tape once for the learning and once for the horror. So if you've made a mistake, you know, something terrible, say you've had a product that's failed spectacularly, well then play the tape in your mind of why it failed, what you could have done differently, and what are your learnings. So you're playing it once for the horror of the, oh my goodness, and then you play it the second time to, what have I learned from this? And then you push the delete button. And that's really important, because a lot of people fail because they can't push delete. And I think that maybe that's been the secret to whatever success I've had, that I've been able to look at my failures, learn from them, but not dwell on them, press delete and move on.
Speaking of, I'm very interested to see what you're looking at a new venture. I mean, why not? And I could just hear some people ask, why not just be happy with what you have? I mean, yeah. Definitely very successful. And this is the bit where I'm really interested in, because I have a theory about myself that I would never stop no matter what's here. What's driving you to continue?
Well, I'm actually supposed to be on sabbatical. And so I said that if I ever sold my last business, which was my ice cream foods business, mm-hmm. I said I would stop for a year. And that's what I'm doing. But in that year so far, I've written the book. I've done the book tour. And that's brought a lot of opportunities to me, because mm-hmm. I've got to talk to so many people in different places in the country. And they're sending me business plans. They're sending me budgets. They're asking me for mentoring. So even when I'm not kind of officially engaged, there is that part of my brain that's just looking at new opportunities. But supposedly I won't touch anything for a year. So we'll just see how that works out.
Is that why you're heading off to Europe after?
The idea is I'm going off to England to sit on a sofa in England. Because, you know, when I was young in New Zealand, most of the young people did what they called their OE. They went and stayed in their friends' flats in London, or they went in a combi van through Europe. I didn't do that. I was typing theses and changing nappies when I was 20. And so I don't want to sleep on someone else's couch, and I don't want to go in a combi van, but I kind of want to do what I didn't do at that end of my life, at this end of my life, have a year off, but I know that deep down inside me there is a drive, because every time a new business plan goes bing into the computer, I want to read it. I want to know what's going on. So I know deep inside me there's probably another business.
Oh, I love that. And I guess, you know, I've been in front of really interesting, successful women, and I'd love to hear your take on that whole, you know, pleasure, you know, and then the other side would be business, and how they can coexist, do you really spend any time on really acknowledging the pleasure points in your life?
It's actually quite hard because it's that learning to live in the now. Mm. And that's what I'm trying to teach myself to do in this year. Instead, because, you know, when you're in business, it's a bit like farming, I say. It's a bit like seasons. You know, there's the seasons for budgeting. There's the seasons for reporting. There's this, you know, and so it's like farmers who have got the season where they sow and the season where they reap. So each kind of part of the year as a business person is broken up in my head. So, you know, I would wake up in December and go, oh, God, it's three-year planning time. And so it's kind of a bit like that. And so it's always with you. And I'm trying to learn that now that those places aren't with me, it's not three-year planning time and it's not budgeting time and I have to learn to live in the moment. But it's something new and it's a new skill I'm trying to teach myself. Like recently I was in London and I learned to use the Red Bus Network. Mm. And I feel as excited about learning to use the Red Bus Network as I do about launching a new product because it's something I've never done before. It's a challenge. It doesn't come easily to me.
Mm. So you've been across a lot of different kind of companies and and done various different industry type products. Is there any one in particular that really excites you?
Yeah, health. I really love health. I think that, you know, it's great to make great plastic bags. Fantastic. And it's even better to make packaging systems that you can sell around the world, as we did at Trigon. Absolutely love making ice cream. It's a happy product. You know, everybody's got their favorite flavor. You can always have at a networking event or a party, you know, you make ice cream. Wow. You know, it's a great talking point. And it's kind of anti everything. There's nobody in the world, you know, it doesn't have sexual connotations. It doesn't have political connotations. It's just ice cream. Whereas with health, it has all sorts of connotations, but it's the only business I've been in that you can literally change someone's outcome. And so I really enjoy health because you're working with people to make other people better. And that's not only fun, it makes you feel good inside.
I love that. That's, wow, so what health, a great product, huh?
Yeah. Health is a great product.
So I'm thinking also too, some of the work that I've uncovered, especially in New Zealand, is that there also is that pay discrepancy with, you know, and this is why it's so great being an entrepreneur, because you can kind of just write your own check, so to speak. Is there, and there's also women that listen to the show that are not necessarily entrepreneurs, but just women that want that business confidence. Are there any words of wisdom that you can offer in changing that game?
Okay, well, first of all, you know, I find it impossible to believe that women are paid less than men for the same job, because in all the industries I've been across in 30 years, it's never, ever been a discussion. So we've never had, you know, a female food technologist and male food technologist and gone, oh, God, let's take the woman because we won't have to pay her as much, or let's take the man because he's going to be better. I've just never heard that conversation in New Zealand, but I know it happens because I read the stats and I go, how can that be happening? Because I'm probably fortunate that I've never encountered that pay issue. But why I say women should be entrepreneurs in particular is because you are so right. You write your own checks, you set your own rules, and there's no glass ceiling when you're building the building. And so I say to women, especially very bright women, because they tend to be pushed towards accounting, legal, architecture, you know, doctors. You know, we say to our brightest and our best, go and be a professional. And I say, fantastic. Get a great degree. Go and get a law degree or a medical degree. But then think about it. Have you got the thing deep inside you that says, I want to run a business? Take the learning. Take the ability that you've learned to learn, which is something I never had because I have no education. So if you've got a great education, you've got a degree, you're well ahead of the game. And then think about whether there's a product you want to invest in or is a product you want to grow. Because then, of course, as I said earlier, you get to grow not only the product, and you have all the fun and all the challenges around that, but if you grow a good business, you get to sell that too. Whereas if you just sell time as a professional, when you come to the end of your career, you have nothing left to sell. You only have your savings. So someone like me, when I sell a business, I now have a nest egg that I can live on. Whereas if I had been a professional, it'd be just closing the curtains.
That's really powerful.
Yeah. So I think it's something I like women to think about particularly. You know, write your own script, be your own goalkeeper, and, you know, then you can make the rules. And, of course, if you're making your rules, then you can incorporate the family stuff too, because you can set the parameters. You can decide whether you're going to have a baby in a bassinet that you're going to breastfeed at work. You don't have to worry about what anyone else thinks because you're the boss.
Oh, I love that. Now, is there any advice that you can give to entrepreneurs that might have, you know, been in the business for 5 years? And I'm thinking about myself in particular. I've had that pretty sustainable success.
Congratulations, that's great.
Yeah, and I'm finding new ways of just getting there sooner, quicker, whatever that means, whatever it is, whatever it takes. But I'm finding myself a little stagnant, and you know, this is really comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that happens because you go, I'm really enjoying this. There's money coming in. Why would I want to get bigger, or why would I want to grow? Mm. Because as comfortable as you feel today, you're going to feel a heck of a lot more excited and challenged if you grow. And it's so easy just, and this is one of the problems that female entrepreneurs have, and there's world research that shows that women grow more but start more businesses, grow them more strongly in the first 5 years, then they plateau and peter out. Because women don't tend to want to take that next big leap. You know, and I think sometimes it's got a lot to do with our kind of age. You know, maybe you start a business at 25, by the time you're 32, the hormones have kicked in, you're thinking babies. So you get the business to a certain size and you think, okay, well, I can do this and I can have babies. So it kind of stymies growth. I think that happens, and part of the reason is the whole nature beaten by your ovaries kind of deal. But I think that the other one is sometimes just women just don't have that confidence at that point. They don't want to risk it all. And being an entrepreneur is about being able to risk it all and being able to be prepared to risk it all. So it's about standing on that bridge, as you said, and go, okay, this is comfortable. Can I take the next step?
And I've also had conversations with my colleagues, and one particular stylist in New York that said the same thing to me that a lot of other people are saying. There's 5 years pretty much in, and we're all feeling that fatigue. Like, do I have to do that? You know, how am I going to go up further? Is it going to be more work? What am I going to do? And it's just that reassessment. And I know that, personally, I can't get the eye off the ball, but I don't know how to. What's the mindset change?
Okay, first thing is take a break. I always think that, you know, if you're up against that wall and you don't know, then you need to move away, even if it's just for a week or 2 weeks, because the most important thing to do is work on your business, not in it. And too many people spend too much time working in it, doing it, doing it, doing it, and then wonder why they can't grow it. So I say to people, if you hit that wall, go away. Find a couple of weeks. You know, the world won't end. If you've got a good, sustainable business, the fact that you're not in it every day for 2 weeks won't destroy it. But then have some time to get in touch with you, what's really good for you. And maybe the reason that you're not growing your business is because you actually don't like it all that much. It's not challenging you anymore. It's not what you thought it was. You know, but you can't make those decisions unless you're away from it. So you're looking back at it objectively. Not trying to make it happen and then trying to worry about the future. Or it just may be that you go, yeah, I actually love this. I just need a bit more courage, or I need more capital. Now's the time to bring in a partner. Or, you know, actually my product's good, but it's not great, but I need to do X. And those kind of things won't come into your head when you're doing the day-to-day grind. Mm. So I think when you start to hit that wall, move away. Take a couple of weeks and then make decisions about how you feel. Also a good thing to do is get a mentor. Because if you've got a mentor, you can talk it through with somebody, and together you work on, not in.
I think that that's, I've always known, and I've had some really great mentors in my life. I think that you, for me anyway, and sometimes you've had the mentorship and you feel like, okay, I've graduated, I can go forward, but there is still a need, isn't there?
Well, look, you know, I've been doing this 30 years and I still talk to mentors, and I have mentors for different things. And I've got one that I talk about in the book, actually, Bill Day. And even today, he was mentoring me on an issue. And, you know, I had sent him some email about an issue. He came back to me and said, have you thought about looking at it from this direction? So just because you've been doing it for a long time doesn't mean you don't need a mentor. We all need mentors. And I think they bring a huge amount to the business.
I love that. Are there any sort of just wild, fun advice that you can give to females that are really either starting to even consider a business? I personally, I think that cool thing about New Zealand's very innovative. People really do have this fresh look onto, you know, just looking at possibilities. And And I had a great conversation with another entrepreneur who said, well, it's because we don't know we can't.
Yeah, I think that's true. First piece of advice I give everybody is drink more water. Now, you might laugh at that, but a well-hydrated brain is a brain that works. And if you drink more water, you would be surprised at how much better your ideas are. It sounds so ridiculous, but I say to people, I challenge you, drink 2 liters of water a day for a week and then decide whether you're making better decisions. So that's always the first thing. Go away, drink more water and see what the decisions are, you know, what your decisions are like. But, you know, the most important thing is to feel the passion. That's, you know, it kind of sums it up. And if you're not feeling the passion, doesn't matter how much good advice, fun advice I can give you, then you shouldn't be doing it. But probably, in all seriousness, after you've drunk in the water, after you've taken time away from the business and decided, or the idea, take time away from the idea, write the idea down, take time away, think about it. After you've discussed it with a mentor, all of those things that, you know, we all talk about and they're all really basic, have a conversation with you. And you are the only person that really knows whether you can do it. You know, your good sides, your bad sides, bring all the advice in, just like you would for a business decision, and focus on you. Are you able to do what you want to do? Do you believe in you enough? Because as I keep saying, no one else will if you don't. And if you don't, if you go, I'm not really very sure that this is the right thing for me, and, you know, I really think that product is missing X, it would be so much better if it had it, then have the courage to say, this idea didn't work for me. It doesn't mean that you failed, it's that that idea failed. And so many times, if something doesn't work, we tend to throw our hands up and go, I failed, I'm a complete failure. But what we've got to tell ourselves is the idea can fail. And maybe next time round, the idea will be better, you'll have better mentoring, better financing, better self-belief, you can make it work. So I say, just because a couple of things doesn't work, doesn't mean you're not an entrepreneur, and it doesn't mean you won't ultimately be very successful.
Oh, I love that. I think that's a perfect place
Great.
To end.
Perfect. And I hope that's what you wanted.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
It's been a great pleasure.
I love doing that interview, and I hope it inspired you so much that you can go ahead and check out this website. It's going to give you a lot more information on topics just like this. Go to hustleandglow.com/AMP, that's for amp, backslash. So it's hustleandglow.com/AMP for amp, backslash. And there you'll find a lot more information. You can actually sign up for the free newsletter, and we will get you on the road to a wonderful entrepreneur journey. Thank you so much for listening. And again, this is Francesca Alexander with The Beauty Beat. Get ready for the night.